Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo! Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Good morning. Good to be with y'all this morning. And worship service, these good songs that we've had, good Bible study we had this morning. And I want to welcome everybody here and welcome our guests, Sister Margie Cumby from right here local. Glad you're here today. She just lives right up the road, she said, just off of John Barrow, and decided to come see what we're all about. And I guess, Brother Vaughn, you've come hung out with us enough that we're not going to consider you a guest anymore. You're just one of us. Is that all right? We'll still clap for you, though. So we're, it's a beautiful day outside. It's nice, cool weather that we're having, and it kind of makes you feel sparky, get a little spring in your step. Nice fall air that we're having. And when is it the time changes back? Is that next week or in 2 weeks or first November? Okay. Something like that. We'll be on top of that when it gets closer, I guess. And always, this is really one of my favorite times of year. I like it when spring breaks and the grass starts turning to green. That always feels good. And I also like when the leaves start changing colors. And it's those two extreme months that I'm not crazy about, you know. The cold and then the heat. This perfect temperature. Go outside and spend out all day and not really get too hot or too cold. That's a blessing. And God is a wonderful creator. What was that first song we sang? My God can do anything. Made this world and all it's in. Saved my soul from every sin. You go out and experience God and His creation. And I love doing that. Love getting out in nature and seeing everything and beholding His very existence by the things that He's created, from every big thing to every small thing. And sometimes I want to ask Him, now, why did you make, you know, the chiggers and the mosquitoes and the ticks? I don't understand that. But I'm sure there's something that they do, and then there's something that eats them things. I guess so the guineas that have something to eat, and the bats. You know, if you got guineas, they say you won't have very many ticks around your place. What's that? Works. And fleas. You won't have a lot of fleas if you got them guineas. And then we was up at the farm, we was like, that's what we had them up there for. And alarm system, too. They're a little good alarm system. They'll make all kinds of rackets. And then the Dominicans come up, and they kept wanting us to kill one and eat for supper. They eat guineas over there all the time. Yeah. And but to behold the wondrous things of God. And then as we've evolved in technology and science and begin to explore the vastness of the universe, we discover that this creation is infinitely big, grand. We can't find an end to it anywhere. And then we're also finding it's infinitely small. And my mind can't wrap my mind around all that. My mind can't wrap around there ever being a beginning of something. Now, I can imagine a beginning to any one of y'all, because I've witnessed the beginning of a human being, right? Down to the, best I can do is, sonograms. Got me you can see the little baby as it's in the mother's womb, and then you're there, we're there at the birth of the children. And so we get to see a beginning, or even a seed. We can see a seed. If you've ever planted a garden, you can see that seed, and there's the beginning of something right there, that seed. But to imagine nothing ever existing, and then all of a sudden something existed, it's hard to imagine. Or something not something being eternal, not ever having a beginning. It's always been. Well, I can't even wrap my finite mind around that. But I know that it has to be possible. That has to be the way it is. Something had to always be. In order for there to be a creation, there had to be a creator. Now, if you go into all the people and top minds of science, so to speak, they would have you, some of them believe that there was some sort of creator or precipitant that got things started. But where did the precipitant come from, Where did all the finest, smallest thing, there had to be something. And so many of the top minds, even if you, and the things I've read about Albert Einstein and some of these top minds, they may not have believed in a personal, when I say personal God, and listening to them, they may not believe in a God that was interactive with man. It's kind of what they believe there was some sort of powerful force in the universe, some sort of, I read a quote by Albert Einstein that he got tired of them labeling him as a atheist, that he never labeled himself as an atheist. He knew that there had to be some sort of universal power, but he just didn't believe in way he was grew up a Jew. He just didn't, and I think he went to Catholic school, but was a Jew, if I'm not mistaken. And he couldn't see God that way, but he knew there was a powerful universe. And as I began to look at all these things, and I know I've talked about some of these things before, it led me know that if there is the way that things are created and how intricate they are, and how even the DNA sequences are so complex and so wonderful, and such a design to that DNA. But if you can't wrap your mind around DNA, then we could back up into the optic center of the eye or the auditory of the ear. So complex that, someone said one time that for you to believe that just it could just happen this way, we could just you know, randomly happen to perfection, the way the universe is so perfect, it would be like a tornado ripping through a junkyard, and when after it's all said and done, there'd be a fully functional 747 ready for takeoff right there. That's how impossible that accident or just a chaotic idea of creation would happen. Well, so for most people, they would have to agree in a creator. And then there's where the lines start getting blurred, because you've got, if you start spanning the globe where all humans existed, you've got all kinds of beliefs on who this creator is. Some believe it is just a super consciousness. Some believe that their prophet is Muhammad. Some believe that it was just Abraham and Moses, and some believes it was the Buddha, and some believe it was many gods, polytheistic, like the Hindu religion, and. So you have all these, the lines start getting blurred, and then you take the monotheistic religions, which you have the Muslim and the Jew and the Christians, and you take each one of them, and they have their beliefs all different. There's many, many different sects of each one of those religions. And then you get, come down to Christianity, and you have everything from the Catholic Church all the way down to non-denominational churches and all the denominations in between, and it leaves you with a perspective of, well, which way actually is it? How is God? Who is God? How is what is the real way to find God? And we're left with an ancient manuscript called the Bible, and we've got many, many, many different interpretations of that. And then you come down even to our group, and we can't even agree on all that. Just in our group, we're relatively small compared to many of the denominations out here, and so you have to look inside yourself and say, you know, what is it? Do I really believe? And in what way is this? And who do I ask? And then you find yourself started asking God. And then you begin to wonder, now, am I hearing the right voice? Because there's other people that believe different than me. And so we're waiting on and hoping. I think we're more in a hoping stage than a really waiting stage. If I had to be honest with myself, and I think if I had you to pinpoint you down and see if how honest you really were, I think we're hoping that we have a time in our life when we get all the answers. We get the answers. The Brother Durham mentioned this morning a full manifestation, a light what did you say? You quoted Paul and said the whole counsel of God, that he didn't fail the. What church was it, Brother Durham? Yeah, who did he tell that to? He said, he told one of the churches that he was writing to, I haven't failed to give you the whole counsel of God. That means he had the full the full picture. They got the whole enchilada, somebody said. But when you don't have the whole enchilada, sometimes you wonder if you're getting the enchilada at all. If you think you're getting a lot of something, but you know if it's the enchilada. In fact, you have to go back. You young people don't even know what that means, probably, the whole enchilada. That's an old saying. But there are universal principles that we know are right. We know that the things that Jesus said, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, will give us a peace in our heart if we would live by them. We would reach out and love our neighbors as ourselves. We would be a peacemaker. We would be meek. If we would be poor in spirit, if we could get God's help to do those things, then maybe some of the details really don't really matter as much as we might think they would. But if we could focus on what would help us today, when I leave here today, if I could live the simplicity of the gospel, Sister McGowan said it was so simple, you know, that I was thinking of that. I may have mentioned it the other night, or that, about the lilies, you know. Sometimes people try to make more of what Jesus said than what he was just saying. And he was just saying, the sun's going to shine tomorrow. It may not shine. It may be a cloudy day. But there's going to be enough of what God's going to produce that the lilies is going to grow. And they're going to display this wonder that God arrayed them with. And they don't really have to do anything because they're a lily. And everything's provided for them to be a lily. And everything's provided for a sparrow to be a sparrow. They're going to find what they need to sustain their life. They know, they just instinctively know how to do it. Because grass is going to grow, and it's going to produce. It's going to grow because the sun's going to come out. And the grass blades are going to produce photosynthesis. And they're going to seed out, and the seed's going to fall, and the birds are going to be able to eat some of that seed. And so will all these things. So why are you fretting about life? Why are you worried? I'll tell you what. There is one big flawed that hangs over us with this new modern age, and that is how instantaneous you can receive the news on television or in the internet. Television news stations make money, and that's how, and if they didn't, they wouldn't have those stations. And what sells is bad news, right? Oh, every once in a while they'll put a nice little human interest story, and everybody goes, ah, but 95% of the time it's garbage. And they placate on people's emotions. And I'm going to tell you something. I about 8-9 years ago, I started listening to a doomsday prophet just about on the news. He had a radio show. And I listened to it. And after about 3 or 4 years of listening to that, I went through such a depression that I couldn't even... I've never been that depressed in all my life. I didn't even want to do anything anymore. And I was just worried about the world going to come to an end. And all these bad things were going to happen. he would tell it like it was imminent. It was going to happen. Just right around the corner. And I finally not only just turned it off, but I quit watching the news altogether. And kind of now my wife likes watching the local news so she can catch the weather. I didn't even want to watch the local news, try to catch the weather. I don't want to watch Barbara Walters special. And you know what? It took me a while, but I come out of it. And I don't watch it anymore. I don't watch the financial news. I don't watch the world news. I don't watch the local news. I don't watch any of it because all they're trying to do is sell more advertising. And they can do that if they pump more bad news and tell you how bad it's going to get and feed off of your emotions. Well, I want to focus on the good news. We got good news. Jesus loves us. God loves us. We're His children. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to treat each other right. He wants us to walk away from what we call the ego. You know, have you ever? Maybe I'm the only person who's ever done this. But have you ever got sucked into a conversation you didn't want to get sucked into, and then you kept talking and you wanted to shut up but you couldn't help it? Right? Yeah. Why am I talking? Why am I engaged? Well, I think there's a part of us that's, some people's is active all the time, just contention, and I've got to be right, and it's going all the time. And some of us do pretty good at keeping it at bay. But as soon as it's engaged, it's locked in. And it can't get away. You almost have to just turn around and physically walk off from that person to detach and just get your mind back on. To make that old tree of knowledge of good and evil go back down. I thought, boy, I've got to practice that. I've got to, when that part of me is engaged, I got to break the link, get away from it. Because I hate that. Don't you hate it when that happens? Yeah, I know other people are shaking their head. But don't you hate it? Don't you feel so bad afterwards? I can't believe I did all that. I can't believe I got sucked into that. Well, I think there's an answer in a practice that God has laid out for us in His Word. You know, Brother Durham talked about as one of his favorite scriptures, in my word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you could get the words, the bread of life in your heart, in your soul, and you feed on it, not let your the seed of Adam get engaged and participate in the things that are not of God, then I believe that you can manifest a light that could be set up on that hill for the whole world to see. Before long, you don't let that engage you. You walk into a situation and they start trying to engage you, and you bite your tongue. You be still, and you don't say anything. Just kind of, and say, you know, start saying something like, you know, what a beautiful day it is outside. Boy, wasn't it good what happened to Brother So-and-so? They got a good job. Or, wasn't it good what we had this morning at breakfast? And then all of a sudden, the conversation changes, and the mood lightens up, and the light fills the room, and you're no longer weighted down with a dark cloud or cape over the situation. You can walk out of there feeling good instead of feeling bad. Anyway, I didn't have a whole lot to say. this morning. Y'all probably noticed me moving my head around a lot because I strained my neck last week, and I'm really uncomfortable. And so I'm making all these motions and moving my head, trying to just stretch things out a little bit. But I wanted to just to say something uplifting about our God and our church. Hmm? Oh, so he's talking at, he was talking to the church in Ephesus when he said he. He said in Acts, what chapter was that? 2017:27, where he said, I have, how you say it again, Brother Mark? Exactly. Yeah, but what did he say? I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There's your scripture right there. All the counsel of God. Well, there was a man right there that we have recorded that actually met Jesus. So he got it firsthand to give to them. So we want to take up the prayer request and receive the offering today. Keep pray for the Brandywine, Maryland church, the passing of Brother Pelt. Those who weren't here didn't hear. He passed away. What day was that, Mom? Saturday or Friday night? Friday, wasn't it? Friday. They were on their way back from the meeting that Dad was at in Haverhill, and in the church van, they thought he was just sleeping, but he had act, and then we tried to wake him and realized that he had passed away there. And so that church need, and the family need our prayers. And but is Dad staying for the funeral? He may stay for the funeral. He may not. Pray for Brother Rivera because he's be helping that church, assisting that church there. I wonder how far that is, Mom. Do you know they say how far it was? About 4 hours, 3.5, 4 hours away. So, Sister Elsie? Elsie's family, her son Randy. Pray for Sister Wilkins. Those that aren't here, they may. Yes. Okay. Hey, go see my chiropractor tomorrow if you want to. I'll give you her name. Because that's where I'm going. See if you can help me with some more with my neck. But we'll pray for you, Sister. Brother Jerry's sick. Scotty and Josh working today. Are they here? Josh is. John, okay. Okay, bro, keep praying for Brother Henry. Sister Rhonda. Brother Tommy's sick, her brother's sick with the flu, and she's got an unspoken request. Pray for the Dotson kids. Okay. Brother Sister McGowan, they're still sick. They've been sick for a while. And we need to keep them in our prayers. I know that he went through a real bout last fall or winter with bronchitis and stuff, isn't he? Yeah, Cindy's mom needs a touch. She's getting kind of frail. Okay. Brother Daniel's son, Jacob, needs prayer. He has an interview for a job. Brother Stewart's out at the fair. Brother, he needs work. I think they've got a bunch of leads out there. They always do good right after a fair. So, and pray for Brett and Zach. I think they're heading home today. They've been out of town. Safe traveling. All right. And if the ushers have come forward, we'll receive the offering as well. All right, we'll stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we bring these needs before you today and ask you to help us, Lord, be more like you, show more of your character, be more uplifting in this life.
making references of some stuff some of you individuals might not know a little bit of part of my testimony. But when I was 12 years old at Mapleville Junior High, I was in study hall, and I heard different people in the past, say that there was no Bible in schools. But I thought, well, there was Bible in my school, but, thank God I'm part of the Southern Bible Belt, so, thank God for that. But there is schools out there that try to eliminate the Bible totally. But unfortunately, besides the Bible, there was a Quran, a Vita, and other material that was available. Yeah, historical sacred books that were available. So that got me to scratching my head. And I thought, well, I'm in study hall. Why not take advantage of what I could see? Luckily, for one major small element that happened when I was 7 years old, I got the Holy Ghost at 7 years old. Thank God for that one small element that helped out. But while I was in study hall, I was learning about Shangtai. That was out of the books of Confucius. I was learning about Allah from the Quran. I was learning about Brahma from the Vedas. And I was thinking, man, there ain't no wonder why people are so mixed up in this world. But thank God I got the Holy Ghost when I was 7 years old. So that basically, okay, if I got the Holy Ghost, that kicks out the Veda, the Quran, and the wisdom of Confucius, and the Buddhist writings and all that. That pushes that out. But I thought, uh-oh, as Brother Smith mentioned today, there is the Catholic Bible. There is the Living Bible. There's the American Standard Version. There's the Revised Standard Version. By the way, I got a collection at my house for really wanting to know about different Bibles. That it reaches that far around, and they're not the same translation, But I thought, I became interested in collecting sacred material after I went to school there. And thank God for 54 clergymen back in 1611. 54 clergymen that took the original translation from Greek and Hebrew and translated the King James Version. Now, I realize we don't speak Shakespearean English today. I mean, these and thous and thous and thys and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I realize we don't speak that way. But thank God, we know what it means, and we at least know where they're translating from. So it's the best translation out there. I mean, the Living Bible, it's pretty nice. I mean, it was groovy to read, but, I ain't gonna say it was all that in the bag of chips, But I'm thankful that being reared up in the body of Christ, it gave me opportunities to know what the truth is. And know, as Brother Smith made a reference, we don't all agree on everything. But we are at least, we admit we don't have everything yet. When you go to a Lutheran church, they'll give you your creed, and Thank God for Martin Luther translating the Latin Bible into German. Thank God for Wycliffe making the first English translation. And right now I can't remember the year, I'm sorry. And thank God for the Gutenberg printing press that made it available for us common folk. It was chained up in Latin to the pulpit. And if you didn't even know how to read Latin, oh well. So I'm thankful that it's in English. And then, besides my little English collection, I got a translation in Spanish. It's English-Spanish, but I got at least the translation. And of the Quran, I got three translations of that. But I'll explain that. There's the Arabic Quran, the Black Muslim Quran, if it's allowed to say that way, and then a common Quran for us. It's basically a Quran for dummies. You know, so it's... So, I mean, I'm just saying that's how they got these books fixed out. When I found them at Euler, I thought, okay, at least it makes it easier for this Protestant boy to read and understand it. But, you know, the one in Arabic, that one is that's for the major scholars to read. I mean, I don't even pick that one up very much. Now, the one for the Black Muslims, hey, I'll show you some stuff in that book. By the way, in that sacred book, I am the devil. They admit I am the devil. I knew we were the devil in this church, but it tells me straight out. The man who's in the cave and stays away from the light, he is the devil. And I'm thinking, my Lord. So, hey. Pray for me, Brother Daniels. I need some help. I ain't got that blessing. But, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for the word I've got in this church. And I'm thankful that maybe I might have picked up a few sacred materials in the time. But hopefully, if the Lord allows me. Because I did use one time a book from somebody. I knew, I don't want to hurt no one's feelings too bad. Okay, I think I'm safe. Some LDS boys came to my house one day. And I read from the Pearl of Great Price. That's a book by Joseph Smith. About speaking in tongues. And when they came to my house, I showed them in the Pearl of Great Price and said, okay, how come you don't practice this? That's just learning how to speak another language, learning how to speak Spanish, French, German, all that kind of stuff. I said, speaking in tongues. If Joseph Smith doesn't, how come you don't practice it? And unfortunately, I found out that there was a boy that fell from the Pentecostal movement into Mormonism. And he was crying. And for some reason, I don't know why it happened, but I started speaking in tongues right there. And he said, I got to leave. I can't stay around this. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I've got the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful that I know that I read a good King. I don't have it with me. I got it on my iPhone, my King James Version on my iPhone. But I got it. I got a King James with me at all times. And I'm thankful that I'm in the body of Christ.
I was missed last Sunday, and I told him I had sleeping problems again on Saturday. I was so sleepy, I didn't even feel like shaving. And on Sunday, last Sunday, I was so sleepy, I didn't even feel like calling to say why I wasn't here. So, our brains produce melatonin that helps us get sleepy. But the older we get, the less melatonin we produce. So I take a melatonin pill every night, but sometimes it doesn't work. So I slept good Monday night and Tuesday night. Sunday night and Monday night. So Tuesday night I thought, well, I'll take two melatonin pills and I'll sleep good and I'll come to church Wednesday night. But it didn't work because maybe that was too much melatonin because I was sleepy the next day. But when Brother Michael called, I told him I was listening to Alex Jones, and he said he wished he'd never told me about Alex Jones. He said he doesn't listen to him anymore because it's so depressing. But Alex Jones was talking about Alex Jones is 38 years old and he has kids, and he wishes he were wrong, and he doesn't like to talk gloom and doom, but he said he's on 130 radio stations, and he gains stations every week. And he's got at least 15 million listeners, so he's a very knowledgeable man. He's been doing this since he was 21 years old. So I told Brother Michael that Alex Jones was talking about his messages on Twitter and Facebook that if President Obama loses, we'll have riots in the country. So Thomas Sewell is a black journalist. Sometimes he has columns in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he occasionally has columns about in the paper, and every time he talks about Obama, even though he's black, he's very critical. And Thomas Sewell said he's afraid that we might have riots if President Obama loses. And so Alex Jones, he has congressmen as guests, he has preachers, he has economists. So he had a black preacher on about a week and a half ago, and he was talking about in the last 35 years there have been over 20 million black babies aborted in this country. Every 20 seconds there's an abortion. If you figure it on 24-hour a day, that's about 4,000 a day. So anyway, Alex Jones was said, you know, the black leaders, you never hear them talk much about against abortion because they're Democrats, and the Democrats favor abortion, so you never hear much said about it. But anyway, abortion is a very controversial subject, but Alex Jones, he has all these guests on here, and they say some very, very negative things about what's coming. I mean, they say that if you don't have gold and you don't have a year and a half's food put back, then you're going to starve. They're saying that there's going to be a food shortage and electricity shortage, and that people will be coming to your house trying to get your last jar of peanut butter. So he says that they say this is coming next year, and I hope they're wrong. But Alex Jones had a congressman on Thursday. He's a Republican from he's a Republican. His name is Walter Jones, and he said that it's ridiculous the way we borrow money from China and give money to other countries. And he said he wished he had never voted for the Iraq war. And he said it's time for us to bring our soldiers home from Afghanistan. So Alex Jones said, what do you think about, do you think we can avoid an economic collapse? And Walter Jones, the politician, he said, well, I'm pessimistic. Said, we're just so deep in debt, and we're just... Well, on Fox News yesterday, they had a story about the greatest fear now is our $16 trillion debt is our greatest insecurity. So anyway, I guess y'all don't like to hear gloom and doom, but I just feel like that there is a storm coming, an economic storm. And anyway, I know that God can help us. It says he'd help his people in times of famine, so I hope it doesn't get to where there's a food shortage. But I guess we could just follow Richard Dawkins. He's one of the most famous atheists today, and he's written several books. One is called The God Delusion, and he's got it all figured out. You know, he started out as a little helpless baby like the rest of us, and he grew up and figured out in his brain that there's no God. And he said, you better just make the best of this, because there's nothing after this. So anyway, that's not a very hopeful philosophy. I don't think any of us want to follow that philosophy, but it sure was good to be able to come today. I was hoping I'd sleep good, and thank God that we have this vision, that we have, you know, they said when President Obama, I watched the debate the other night, and they said he gave no vision for the future. You know, usually a presidential candidate will see their vision for the future, but thank God we've got a vision for the future that no matter how dark it gets, we've got hope in the time of trouble. So it's great to be here today, and I wish I could get over my sleep problems, and I never know when they're going to come up. They hit me from time to time, but anyway, it's great to be here today.
But I'm glad to be here this weekend. Brother Smith was talking about, and you talked about this before, and I heard you before. What we listen to matters. I was riding down the road just this week, and I love listening to upbeat music on my radio. I'm talking about good Christian music, because I know what we listen to matters. You're talking about the news. It matters. I think about 2 months there for a while, I went through a depression, and I was keeping up with the news. But this week, I was wanting to listen to my radio, and I turned it on. And sure enough, it just so happened to be right on a Christian station. And I said, well, this is great. I don't know how that happened, but it did, and that's good. And that's what I wanted. I went down the road listening to it until I went out of range, and I felt good. And sometimes when I go out of range, I can just move it over a little bit to the station this way or that way, and it go right back to the same station. I can listen to it again until I go out of range. Well, I moved it, and it fell on a station of some music that I loved to listen to when I was young. That 50s music. I loved that stuff. I still love it today. But it don't hit the spot. I found a song that I used to really like. I said, whoa. So I listened to it. But as I was riding down the road, it was like, there's nothing there. And the song went off. Another one come on that was even worse. And I said, oh, this ain't getting it. So I tried to find the station. And I did find some news. And I listened to that. But I noticed, I was paying attention to the way I felt. And my brother Wang and I spent a little bit of time yesterday. And I don't know where he is today. I guess he wasn't feeling good yesterday, but he helped me, and I really appreciate that. I was talking to him. I said, you know, Wang, it really matters what we listen to. If we don't keep our minds girded up through the week by what we listen to, he's talking about the news, then it's hard to come into church. It's hard for me to do it. I come to church. If I haven't listened to the right thing, I will sit down in that chair, and I'll be as blank as a sheet of paper. And I'm trying to catch up with what everybody's saying. I think, my goodness, somewhere I can catch on here. But I find that if I keep my mind girded up, I read my Bible. I was telling my brother Wang, I said, you know, I can't stay in my chair because of the state of mind that my mind's been in through the week. And that's what Brother Smith was talking about. If we allow it reminds me of when Peter got out of the boat. You remember Jesus was walking on the water. Jesus is doing what he wants us to do. He told us, follow my footsteps. Well, he come walking on the water. And the men looked at him. They said, Lord, is that you? Yes, it's me. He said, and Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. And Jesus told him, come. So Peter just climbed out. And he started doing the impossible too. That's what we're trying to do, is the impossible. People say he can't be perfect. That's impossible. Without Jesus, we can't. Peter couldn't have walked on the water without Jesus. And I'm going to have to read the story again. And I don't know if this is the part we made up or not. Y'all help me. Peter evidently got his eyes off Jesus. Now, does it say that, or is that something I made up? Okay, it really is in there. I need to read that story again. Okay. He got to looking at the waves, Brother Fleming. The waves, we look at these political waves. We look at the, whatever, the economic waves, the financial waves. Yeah, the list goes on. And the waves of people, you know, that says there's no God. You know, Brother Smith's talking about that. We look at those waves. The next thing you know, we start going down. We start sinking. Now, I know I probably watched too many cartoons when I was growing up. But Peter at least had sense enough to say, Lord, save me lest I perish. That's what we got to do. I find myself having to do that more and more. I say, God, I can't make it if I don't have help. It's obvious to me. The Bible said Jesus stretched out his arm and helped him. Now, I don't know how he did that. I've wondered that. Y'all remember that cartoon of the guy called the Stretch? You know, I wonder, when I read that scripture, I thought, is that the way he did that? Stretched out his arm, you know, just right on out there. And I thought, yeah, he didn't have to do that. But I've wondered that. And then I wondered, well, did he run across the water like the Flash? That ain't what it said. It said he stretched out his arm. Okay, you might say, well, Jesus didn't have to be there. He could have just stayed clear across the water and just done this number. And Peter would have come back to the surface. But he didn't have to do that. I don't think he even had to do that either. You folks forgive me for tearing stuff up. He didn't have to do that either. But the way it was worded, I read that and I thought, how'd he do that? Anyway, but what we keep our minds on matters. And this week I felt God's presence with me. And I'm glad to be in church. I'm glad to just look at you people. I'm glad to just look at you and be with you, listen to you talk. hear you sing, you know. I noticed there's, is there a meeting, something going on somewhere? Okay. Everybody hadn't got back yet? Okay. I just wondered, just looking around, seeing, okay, y'all. Anyway, I'm glad to be here today. I am happy to be one of Jesus, one of his. I'm happy to be in this world. You know, we talk about the darkness is going to get greater. And I'm reminded of what Brother Durham said. And I believe it. The same water that destroyed the world caused his people to rise. And I look around at these troubles. And in your scripture in the Bible says something about welcoming trouble. Thinking not strange concerning. I know that scripture exists. Thinking not strange concerning fire trials which are to try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. But all this fire. Do you remember the three? I talked about this last time I was up. The three Hebrew children. They went right into the fire. We're going to go into the fire. And you remember David. Now I thought about that this week. I was listening to one of them radio stations. And they were talking about. Oh yeah, let me tell you this. There are people, Brother Keith, that are standing for righteousness. That was one of the things I was listening to on that radio station. They was talking about around the country, different things that people are doing. Let me just tell y'all this one. I know you'll find it interesting. Over in the state of Tennessee, right over here in Tennessee, we've got, not in Tennessee, but in Tennessee too, we've got schools that are Christian that are backing down when people threaten them with letters. Threatening to sue them, you know, for them standing for what they think's right. But we've also got a secular school over here, Brother Keith. This is the Bible Belt through here. I heard it on the radio just Friday. They believe in prayer before they have a football game. This is a secular school, college. Huh? Does it do it in Texas too? Well, okay. Well, the one in Tennessee, somebody found out about that up in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, it was Wisconsin, an atheist. They went to a lawyer, wrote that school a letter, and told them if they didn't stop that prayer before the ball games, they're going to bring a lawsuit against them. These people, they said, you know what? They sent them a letter back, told them, we're not doing anything that's against our constitutional rights. The prayers will continue. We'll see you in court. I thought, whoa, that is great. People are willing to stand for what's righteous. And when I hear stories like that, that makes me want to say, yes, I want to be a light. Yeah, I want to be a light. I want people to look at me. There's a saying that says, if you was brought up on charges of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I want there to be enough evidence to convict you. I've even considered, and I know you might say, Brother Paul, you really ought to try to be a little... I was going out of a rest area this week, and this guy, I don't know what he was doing. Brother Keith, you might help me. This guy was standing up. No, he wasn't standing. He was kneeling. He didn't have a shirt on. With his hands like this. I don't know what religion he probably was, but I was watching him on my way out of the rest area, and I thought, you know what? If people, which... It's fine with me. If people want to become, and you hear profanity every day, you know, people don't, that's a normal thing. But if people want to be brazen, another thing I heard on radio, you folks forgive me, I am bringing you up to part of the news, Brother Smith, but if people want to be brazen and promote unrighteousness, then we ought to be brazen and promote righteousness. And I was thinking this week, I said, you know, in restaurants, now I'm just considering this. Now, I'm not, if y'all don't see me doing this anytime soon, but I thought about just praying and just raising my hand. You know, when I pray, I'm not causing a scene. I'm not causing anybody in trouble. I heard on the news again. See, the reason I'm bringing this one up is because, and the guy in the rest area, see, over in these Middle Eastern countries, they have prayer to Islam, Allah, yeah. And they don't make any bones about this. None. And I thought, you know, oh, I'm sorry. And if these people want to be like that, then we need to be a light. We say that we're willing. I'm talking again to myself. But we read in God's Word. I started to say a while ago about David. When Goliath stood up, he ran. Y'all knew David ran when David came up, don't you? Everybody here knows David ran when Goliath showed up? Huh? Ran to him, that's right. We're not going to run away. We're going to run to the fight. The fight, yeah. We're not going to be cowards. We got a job to do. I lost my thought there for a second. Hang on, give me just a second here. David ran to Goliath. I was talking about them. Being a light. Do what now? Yeah, I was talking about these people. They're willing to stand for what they believe, even though, and they believe it's right. And I'm not mad at them. But I think we ought to be a light too. We are the Bible. You remember Brother Liniger used to tell us. He said, the Bible is a love letter written to the true woman about the other woman. And the question is, are we going to be the one that the Bible's talking to when it says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are part of the city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. Can't be hid. I believe it's going to get to a point in time where we won't have to say a whole bunch. You remember, I don't know if I told y'all here, but there was a lady that was a receiving clerk. I was up in New Jersey, and I was talking to her. I only talked to her about 5 minutes. Not even about God, just talking. And she turned around and looked at me. She said, you're not like all the rest of us. I ain't even been in church in 2 months. I felt like a backslider. I said, well, yeah, I'm from Arkansas. She said, that's not what I'm talking about. You're not like the rest of us. I believe the time's going to come, you know, with this world getting darker and darker, that even a little bitty light. Matter of fact, my boss gave me a little light this week. A little bitty light right there in a dark room. That light is something else. But that's the way we're going to be. And we won't even have to say anything. People look at us. They say, you're not one of us. What was that girl told Peter? You're one of them. Your speech betrays you. You're one of them. We want that evidence to, you know, convict us. We want that evidence. I want that evidence. So, since we can't hide, we're part of a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid, we might as well just, yeah, I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I want to be one of them. I thank God I'm one of them. And the day may come, we may be standing right in the middle of a crowd. We're the only one. But that's all right. Let me tell you another one I read. Do you remember the Bible? Y'all was talking about it last time I was here. There was 120 on the upper room. There was 3,000 added to them people. And then there was 5,000 more added to them. Now you do the math on that. Tell me how many people each one of them had to be responsible for. It's about 500 and something people apiece. And those, let's see, 5, 6, 7, those 8,000 people didn't sway the 120. The 120 swayed the 8,000. That tells you what a light will do in darkness. A little bitty light. You know, light and darkness can't possess the same place. And people see you. And especially people have a desire in their heart to want to go in a positive direction. All they need is a little bit of light. All they need is something to show the way. That's what we're here for. God's our friend. I love him. I appreciate being here.
I will follow thee over mountains high and through the stormy sea. And when I hear your voice, Lord, no matter how I feel, face about. He looked into the burning bush and then took off his shoes. On holy ground, Moses cried, Lord, I'll follow you.
Choir practice at 3. Okay. Well, we got band practice at 4. Choir practice at 3. Beginner band at 3:30. Saturday night singing next Saturday night. Just Sunday morning service. And then a fall party at Sunday evening over at the York Homestead. Fall festival. Some sort of fall extravaganza. With pumpkins I don't know what we're doing. Hot dogs and bonfires, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see y'all at this evening. Amen.